Mark chapter 6 and verse 1, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being together in God's house this morning. Ask you, Lord, to touch our hearts by your word. Pray, Father, that you'd minister to this congregation. May the hand of the Lord rest upon us this morning as we deliver the message of God. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice in verse 3, he says, Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? In other words, Jesus took up the occupation of his earthly father, and he was a carpenter. A carpenter in those days didn't go out and build houses. They made furniture for the people in the community. They fashioned plows and plow handles and things of that nature. And I can assure you that Jesus was the best carpenter in the community. And everybody wanted Jesus to do their work for them, because there was nobody as honest as he was. And nobody would do a better job than Jesus. So no doubt Jesus was the most popular carpenter in the community. I'm going to preach this morning not about the occupation of Jesus so much. I'm going to preach a message that's unusual for me. I'm going to preach an allegorical message this morning. I'm going to preach about Jesus, the carpenter. But I'm going to preach to you about what he made out of the cross. We're approaching Easter, and we are celebrating the facts of history upon which the Christian faith is based. And the crucifixion of Jesus is one of those facts of history upon which our faith is based. We believe that Jesus lived and he died and he rose again. And I want to point out to us some things about the cross of Jesus this morning. There are three things that I want you to notice about the cross that Jesus fashioned from the cross. Jesus, the carpenter. He fashioned an altar, first of all, upon which he offered himself unto God. In the Old Testament, there was one day set aside called the Day of Atonement. On that Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the most holy place, bearing a sacrifice, first of all, for his own sins, and then bearing a sacrifice for the sins of the whole nation. It was the only day of the year that he could enter into the most holy place, that one day, the Day of Atonement. And on that day, he would bring two goats before the Lord. One of them would be offered as a sacrifice. The other was called the scapegoat. The one goat was killed, its blood was shed, sprinkled on the mercy seat, and before the altar of burnt sacrifice. And the other goat, he would go and he would place his hands on that scapegoat and confess over that scapegoat the sins of Israel. And a man would be designated to take that goat out into the wilderness and turn that goat loose. And that goat would be bearing the sins of the whole nation of Israel. Jesus made an altar out of the cross, upon which he offered himself unto God, being the sacrifice for our sins, the scapegoat to take away our sins, making an atonement for us upon the cross of Calvary. The sacrifice of Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. It was a sacrifice not just for an individual. It wasn't just a sacrifice for a nation. It was a sacrifice for every human being that ever lived or ever would live. God had promised to Abraham, I'm going to raise up to you a seed that will bless all the nations of the world. And Jesus was that seed that would bless all the nations of the world. His sacrifice would be an atonement for the sins of every man that ever lived or ever would live. His sacrifice was the final sacrifice. It was a sacrifice that was good for all time. It made all the other animal sacrifices unnecessary. You don't need to bring a goat or a bullock or a pigeon before the Lord any longer, because the sacrifice of Jesus was the final sacrifice. And the benefits of that sacrifice are good for time and eternity. We enjoy the benefits of it now, and the forgiveness of our sins and deliverance from the power of our sins. But we're going to enjoy the benefits of that sacrifice for all eternity. For in all eternity, we're going to be celebrating the fact that Jesus died for us. And all the benefits and blessings that we have in eternity, we will point back to the cross and say we're here because of the cross. And all of the blessings of heaven and all of the beauties of the New Jerusalem are ours because of Calvary. And so it was the final sacrifice, good for all time and eternity. The benefits of Calvary are ours now, and we will enjoy them for all eternity. It was an effective sacrifice. It really works. Its purpose, the sacrifice of Jesus upon that cross, was to change the relationship between God and man. The relationship between God and man had been ruined by sin. We were at enmity with God. And the sacrifice of Jesus changed the relationship between God and man. We were reconciled to God by the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. God made peace between God and man by sending His Son to die on an old rugged cross. Jesus fashioned an altar out of that cross upon which He offered Himself without spot unto God. He brought about harmony between heaven and earth. He settled the differences between God and man. He made us at peace with God, and therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus fashioned an altar out of the cross. But He also made a ladder out of the cross. He fashioned a ladder that reached from earth to heaven. Now you remember in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 10, 11, they were going to make a tower that reached from earth to heaven. And God came down, confused their languages, scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth. But this is not a tower. Jesus fashioned a ladder. You know, man's efforts were doomed from the very beginning. He's going to try to build a tower to heaven, and God confounded him. And man's efforts are always doomed to failure. Whenever we try to come up with our own salvation, we cannot figure it out. We can't get it done. But God did it for us in sending His Son. You see, He made a ladder that came down from heaven. It wasn't a ladder that went from earth to heaven started in earth and went to heaven. It was a ladder let down from heaven. Jesus came down from heaven. He is that ladder, my brother. Hallelujah. He fashioned a ladder out of that cross that reaches from earth to heaven. Its bottom is in the earth. Its top is in the heaven. And anybody can get on the ladder. You remember the story of Jacob, don't you? Fleeing for his life, having the dream of the ladder reaching from earth to heaven and angels ascending and descending on it. And Jesus compared Himself to that ladder when He spoke to Nathanael and said, hereafter shall you see the angels descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. Jesus fashioned a ladder out of that cross that reaches from earth to heaven, and its bottom is in the earth so that anybody that wants to can get on it. Hallelujah. It's in reach of everybody. You can get on this ladder that reaches from earth to heaven. And I want to tell you something else. There's only one that reaches from earth to heaven. Some of them have fooled a lot of people, you know, and it looked like that ladder would get to heaven, but it won't make it. But there's only one ladder that goes from earth to heaven. Jesus fashioned a ladder out of that cross that reaches from earth all the way to glory. And you can get on it. Hallelujah. Its foot is in the earth, and anybody can get on it that will. God has made it possible that whosoever will can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every step on the ladder leads away from earth. And the top is reached one step at a time. We are climbing, the song says, Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Every rung goes higher, higher, higher and higher. We're climbing this ladder one rung at a time. I'm telling you, brother, you know, we add to our experience. When we get saved, we begin to add a prayer life to our experience. When we get saved, we begin to add Bible reading to our experience. When we get saved, we begin to add attendance at the house of God to our experience. And on and on, we add to our experience. Now, I'll tell you, I've seen some people climb back down. They added to, and then they climb back down. But on this ladder, brother, if you get to heaven, I told my young folks in Sunday school this morning, if you're going to live for Jesus, you've got to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, reaching for another rung. Today I'm going to reach for another rung, and tomorrow another rung, and I'm climbing this ladder, brother. Its bottom is in earth, but its top is in heaven. And someday I'm planning on getting to the top, praise God, and joining the saints of old who have climbed this ladder. Jesus has fashioned a ladder, and it reaches from earth to glory. He not only fashioned a ladder, He fashioned a throne from that cross by which He rules the ages. That cross was Christ's entrance into His glory. When Jesus submitted Himself to the death of the cross, His Father said, I'm going to give Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, because Jesus was willing to suffer and bleed and die on that cross. God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. He made a throne out of that cross by which He rules the ages. And this throne is higher than any other throne. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1, 20 and 21 that God raised Christ from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Though this throne is higher than any other throne, nobody compares to the Son of God. And I'm telling you, brother, you don't have to be embarrassed to represent Jesus in this world. There are people who are not embarrassed about their dead gods. How about our living God? How about our Savior that conquered death? We don't have to be embarrassed about Jesus. He's the ruler of the universe, brother. He sits on a throne that's higher than any other throne. Every other religious figure is going to answer to Him. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the judge of all men. You don't have to be embarrassed about Jesus. And you don't have to be ashamed of Christ. And there's never been another like Him. And I'm telling you that Jesus sits on a throne and He reigns this morning, King of kings and Lord of lords. He fashioned a throne out of that cross, and this throne is going to endure eternally. Luke 1:33, the angel said to Mary, He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. This is one king, brother, that has no successor. There'll be nobody to take His place. He's going to reign forever. He ever liveth. He is his reign will never come to an end. This king will rule forever. He made a throne out of the cross. You know, the cross of Jesus Christ is so critical. It convicts of sin. When a person looks at the cross of Christ, when they see the innocent Lamb of God dying there, when we compare ourselves to Him, the cross convicts us of our sin. When we realize that Jesus was dying for us, that it was our sins that nailed Jesus to that cross, that the innocent Son of God was suffering on our behalf. Look at that thief hanging on the cross beside Jesus. He came under conviction as he listened to the Son of God. He spoke 7 short utterances on that cross. And this thief came under conviction, hanging on the cross beside him. He said to the thief, the other thief, he said, "We are guilty. We deserve what we're getting. But this man is innocent, and he hath done nothing wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Lord, I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom." This man got under conviction, hanging on the cross beside Jesus. The cross convicted him of his sins. "I'm guilty," and he's innocent. And begged for mercy, and Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." I'm glad one day, brother, that the Lord showed me how innocent and how wonderful Jesus was, and how ugly my own life was. And I came under conviction and cried out to Jesus for mercy and found mercy at the cross. And I'm telling you, brother, that the cross convicts men of sin. But it not only convicts men of sin, it offers hope to sinners. Hallelujah! The cross offers hope to sinners. Here's a thief dying. I'm telling you, brother, he's standing right at the gates of hell. He can almost smell the smoke and feel the fire. And Jesus turned him around and said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." The cross not only convicts us of our sin, but the cross offers hope to sinners. Praise God. Jesus loved you. Jesus died for you. Jesus can turn your life around. The cross offers hope to sinners. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the cross of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I want Sister Judy to come to the piano. There's a song that says, "There's room at the cross for you." And I'm glad, brother, that when my sins were weighing heavy upon my heart, and you know, nobody ever gets saved till they get tired of sin. But I got tired of sin. I realized that my sin was destroying me. I understood that if I died in my sin, I was going to hell. And I began to get concerned about my soul. And under conviction, made my way to an old-fashioned altar and wept and cried before God and got to the point to where I was willing to surrender my sins. Confess my sins and surrender my sins to Jesus. And when I did, I found mercy at the cross of Calvary. Jesus convicted me of my sins, but His cross offered hope for me in my sins. And I'm glad I found mercy at the cross of Calvary. And you too can. You can find mercy this morning at the cross of Calvary. That's deliverance for sin. You know, sometimes we think about that crowd over there at the racetrack this morning, last night, there was untold sins committed in this place under the influence of alcohol. Untold sins. Men couldn't get out of bed this morning, so drunk. If they even make it to the race, they won't enjoy it. Hangovers. Drank themselves stupid last night. And they're going to go over there and call it a good time. And I'm going to promise you something. Ain't nobody going to get saved over there today. That ain't where redemption's found. But redemption's found right here. Right here, there's hope for sinners. Right here, around this altar, there's mercy for sinners. Right here, lives can be changed. Right here, Jesus can straighten out lives. Right here, at this altar, you can find mercy at the foot of the cross. I want us to stand together this morning. Perhaps there's a soul here. You need mercy. You know you're a sinner. You know if you died, you'd go to hell. But there's mercy at the foot of the cross. Jesus died to give us hope. You have hope this morning through Jesus. Altars are open. There's a soul here hungry to know Jesus. There's a soul here that desiring to be saved. The altars are open. Mercy. Hope in the cross of Calvary. Room at the cross are you. Room at the cross are you. Millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, listen, sinner, listen. There's room for you. There's hope. There's healing. There's help in the cross of Jesus. There's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Father, we're thankful this morning. Appreciate the blessings of the Lord upon us. Glad you brought us together this morning to worship God, to give God glory and honor, to be reminded of the cross of Calvary, the wonderful things that Jesus has done for us, dying for us on that cross, giving His life so we could live eternally. Lord, I thank You for that. Thank You for the conviction of sin that flows from that cross. Oh, Jesus, You died in our place. We deserve the judgment that fell upon You. We thank You, Lord, that You stood in the gap and made up the hedge and bore the brunt of the wrath of God so that we could go free, enjoy the blessings and benefits of being children of God. Father, I pray this morning for that soul here hasn't yet experienced peace and joy of this wonderful salvation. It costs You a lot to give it to us, Jesus. It's free to us, but we know it cost. It cost You. Oh my, how it cost You, Jesus. I pray that You'd help that soul that's wandering from God. Lord, lost in the wilderness of sin. I pray they'd hear the voice of the Master calling their name, summoning them to the cross. There's mercy. There's hope. The cross of Jesus. Lord, encourage us all. Remind us, constantly remind us of what Jesus has done for us. And may we worship you and rejoice in you every day of our lives. And we'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.